Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts, and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I'm really thrilled today because we have with us Anne Riedel. Anne is a retired psychiatrist who has been studying human beings for as long as she can remember. She has a bachelor's degree from Duke University and a medical degree from Tulane University, where she completed 2 years of residency in pediatrics and 3 years in psychiatry at Tulane-affiliated hospital. However, she considers her life her greatest teacher. She passes on this instruction to others that they too might learn to listen to their lives. What a beautiful, beautiful way to put that. And welcome. Thank you so much for being with us.
It's great to be here, Vicki.
Can you tell me a little bit about how you came to your vision and what that vision looks like?
Well, my vision is to modernize the practice of healthcare. In my lifetime, there have already been many improvements in the field of medicine, such as imaging devices that can make visible every part of our bodies and show its activity level. Robotic surgical procedures are now an option, and scientists are mapping and manipulating genomes with the goal of minimizing genetic disease. These are all extraordinary advancements, yet at the same time, we're still treating our human bodies as less than human. We believe we know how they should be performing, and we attempt to correct them when they aren't performing as we expect. For example, we think our bodies should be healthy, no matter how poorly we eat, how little we sleep, or how much we're otherwise stressing them. A more evolved practice is to lovingly relate to our bodies, sensing what they need and meeting these needs. I'm not talking about meeting superficial needs, like I'm feeling a need for a double chocolate sundae with extra frosting, but meeting the deeper needs of the body, such as what we need to develop our humanity. To do this, we need to hear each body's human voice, respect the intelligence and care expressed in each symptom we might have, and honor the body's request for change.
Well, you know, Anne, I love the way you talk to developing our humanity. Could you go in a little bit more into what that means, developing our humanity?
Well, when we demand human beings act according to externally imposed rules of good behaviors while avoiding equally strict bad behaviors, we dehumanize them. We're requiring they behave in a mechanical manner rather than being true to their human selves or true to a higher spiritual purpose. An example of these rules would be exercise regularly. It's good for your health. But life is too complex for such simple programs to always be effective, and that exercising may be very bad if we're jogging behind moving cars or swimming in a sea of carcinogens. And I see this a lot. People following what they've learned is good, but when they haven't been taught to be equally attentive to their body's perceptions, feelings, and thoughts, they don't apply the information correctly. So because there is so much dehumanizing and secondary harm perpetrated in our society by these rigid programs, as well as the more obvious abuse and neglect of our human needs, we must seek people who are in touch with their humanity to rehumanize us. Contrary to popular belief, this development is one of our human needs, because when we have access to our humanity, including body awareness, a compassionate heart, an open mind, and a conscious spiritual connection through each of these modalities, we can sense when, where, with whom, how, and how much we need to exercise. So that really is good for us. And we exercise our psychological body, the emotional heart, and the mind, as well as the physical body. The less access we have to all of these components of our humanity, the more likely we are to make mistakes, and the bigger the mistakes we make, such as not listening to our body's human voice.
That is so fascinating. You know, you have just accomplished so many wonderful things. Can you share with us a little bit about your journey and how you came to be where you are today?
Well, to have a tender and respectful relationship with our bodies is what I learned through my personal and professional experiences with sickness. Each symptom is an indication of a problem, which often includes physical, emotional, and mental components, each aspect of our humanity. To give you a better idea of what I'm talking about, let's look at the leading cause of death in our country, heart disease. In our culture, we associate the heart with emotions such as love. So incapacitating heart disease is often a manifestation of incapacitating emotional issues. For example, we may not be circulating our authentic emotions each day, and a weak heart is revealing this weakness. Now, the second most cause of death in the U.S. is cancer. These malignant tumors may represent the growth of something in our mind that is contrary to our human life. A preoccupation with image would be an example of this. I go into great detail in my book, The Awakening Storm, about how image is created and fed in the average child in our country and how it is maintained in the average adult. So many people live in their imaginations rather than seeing what is truly going on around them and within them and within their fellow man. This is an enormous problem by itself, but also children need validation, loving support, and guidance in handling their genuine life experiences if they are to mature. And when parents live in a fantasy world, an image of what they wished their life had been rather than the truth, they cannot be with their child's genuine experience. They cannot validate and lovingly support the child's legitimate thoughts and feelings about what really happened. And they cannot effectively guide the child. Instead, they tend to guide the child into imagery as they have been guided. They teach a comforting story that the child learns to call reality while the truth gets stored in the unconscious mind. So many of our illnesses and injuries are trying to draw our attention to just how debilitating these stories have been to our human development. But also, when we're not speaking the truth of our experience, our bodies may fill in the silence with symptoms that reveal the truth. For example, we may lose our vision if we're blind to this truth, or we may lose our hearing if we're deaf to the deeper messages of each human voice. Our illnesses and injuries can be, too, a manifestation of post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, which, in my opinion, is inevitable when our caretakers are unable to acknowledge and lovingly help us through our greatest traumas.
That's such an interesting perception, you know, just such a wonderful way of thinking about it. I was wondering if you could share a little bit about some of the challenges that you may have gone through, because you've accomplished so much. I can't imagine it was easy all the way through.
Yeah, but I probably first should say a bit more about post-traumatic stress in case people don't know about this. And the part of PTSD is reliving or recreating our traumas, which again can be physical, emotional, or mental. And keeping ourselves stressed is a common example of reliving or recreating an aspect of our traumatic experience. If we've had a traumatic life, we're used to the feeling of being stressed, so we seek out stressful situations, which may include the stress of chronic illness. And I'm not suggesting that what most people do is doing this consciously. It's usually an unconscious process, particularly when we have a lot of unconscious trauma. Sometimes the very illnesses we succumb to allude to these past traumas, as in sexually abused children having diseases that affect their sexual organs. We may have pain in these areas, as reminders of the pain during past trauma, or maybe because we're feeling guilty and are unconsciously punishing these parts of us with pain. Or perhaps we choose a painful treatment to do the punishing. I mean, there's so many possibilities of what our bodies are trying to help us work through by our various symptoms and disease processes and through our choice of treatment. But in regards to my voyage, my professional journey started in pediatrics during my two-year residency with Tulane-affiliated hospitals and clinics in New Orleans. While I was learning primarily the biological cause of the children's illnesses, I found my curiosity growing in regards to the psychological causes. To me, the emotional and mental components in disease processes were just as important as the physical components. And these psychological components were always present, whether the illness was diagnosed as psychosomatic or not. For those unfamiliar with this word, it means that a person's emotional or mental state is clearly causing the physical symptoms, rather than a physical disease. So going back to my history, I remember asking the sick children in the hospital wards, "Why are you sick?" And then they would listen intently for the answer. Sooner or later, they let me know. It was always an intelligent reason, and often the cause included others. For example, one boy had a father who was lost in the fast lane of a high-powered job, and the boy's devastating disease got dad to slow down and adjust his priorities. This boy was willing to forfeit his physical life in order to save the psychological life of his father. A girl who was hospitalized with recurring symptoms just wanted to bring her divorced parents back together. Their visits to the hospital, because of her illness, were the only times they were in each other's company for more than a few minutes. So our illnesses are often requests for correction inside ourselves and outside ourselves, and those we're closest to. They challenge us to develop ourselves and each other.
It's so important to listen to your body.
Yes. Yes, it is. And another challenge for me has been to share this information about psychological causes of illness when people so often have strong reactions. To give you an example, some people react to this information as if I'm trying to hurt them. And this makes sense in that when we have hidden our hurts in our unconscious mind and clung to a fantasy instead of reality, those who refer to the truth of our experience can seem hurtful. So the very situation we needed as children, people validating and supporting our genuine experience, now seems frightening. It threatens to bring up all the pain we have denied and forgotten over the years. Yet when we run away from this pain and the people who refer to it, we curtail our development. On top of the pain and the fear of its surfacing, we then also have a lot of guilt for avoiding what we need to grow. When I share with people what their bodies may be communicating, this guilt often surfaces as well. And they also feel guilty that if they had had this information sooner, they or their loved ones might not have suffered to such a degree. And maybe some wouldn't have prematurely died. So I think it's important that we extend the same graciousness to ourselves that we do to our developing children. Just as kids follow a certain path in their physical development, we also have a predictable path of psychological development. Blaming ourselves for taking so much time to mature is like blaming an infant for taking nearly two decades before being ready to leave his family of origin. Maturation takes time, individually and collectively. We also have to progress from a history-based perspective to a new paradigm. Consider for a moment the many children and adults who have suffered and died from infectious diseases before antibiotics. For example, penicillin was discovered by Alexander Fleming in 1928 and then used clinically in the 40s. Historically, opening up to new information and the effective implementation of that information takes a certain amount of time and adjustment. When penicillin became available, we had to leap from an experience-based perspective of bacterial infections causing many fatalities to embrace the possibility that antibiotics can kill bacteria and prolong life. Thankfully, we made this leap and people now routinely recover from infectious diseases that were typically fatal 100 years ago. This new paradigm of listening to the request for change in our body symptoms requires the same leap of faith. When we make this leap, I believe the number of recoveries will be similarly impressive.
Mm-hmm. That's so, so hopeful. So tell us a little bit about your triumph.
Well, the triumphs of this philosophy and practice would be the surmounting of all forms of illness and injury. The more that we listen to the communications in each symptom, investigate the emotional and mental causes equally to the physical causes, and respond to the requests for change that our physical and psychological bodies are asking from us. And our spirit is asking a lot, too. I've seen so many miraculous healings when people make the choice to deeply listen and appropriately respond. I remember one adolescent, for example, who had severe food allergies, which resulted in her having a thin, sickly appearance. I persistently inquired why her body was rejecting all these foods, and she eventually remembered that the rejection began after having a horrible argument at the dinner table with her controlling mom, the cook in the family. She hated her mom in that moment, but she didn't feel right about hating her mom, so she instead hated everything on the table and could not eat any of those foods again. This girl went into therapy to work on her anger toward her mother, and she returned to a normal diet without any further allergic reactions. You see, this misplaced anger is such a common cause of illness. In my opinion, investigating anger should be part of every interview a doctor conducts, but usually the physical body gets the most focus. I believe our cultural focus on the physical body more than the psychological is one of the main causes of our illnesses. The sick body is lovingly amplifying the suffering of our deprived and abused hearts and minds, that we may acknowledge and treat it. Several doctors challenged some people I knew to look inward and make some changes there as a remedy for their rapidly deteriorating physical health. These patients responded with, "I would rather die." Their honesty was evidenced by their deaths shortly after. To me, this is tragic.
That is certainly the case. I'm just wondering, what are the lessons learned from this?
Well, once we understand that we're not innocent victims of our accidents and illnesses, but are participants in bringing about these intelligent communications, we can apply this message anywhere in our lives. Whatever is going on, no matter how disastrous or seemingly outside of our control, we can look at it as mirroring something about our own psychology. A traumatic event may be showing us something about our past that is unresolved and asking for resolution. It may be helping us overcome a weakness or teaching us valuable lessons that we currently need to acquire. It may be preparing us for a future that we have yet to envision, let alone set goals and objectives. There's so many possibilities beyond, "This should not be happening, I don't want this," and then seeking out people or God himself to make it stop. In all our circumstances lie many developmental opportunities.
Mm. That is so beautiful. Just such beautiful thoughts and perceptions. And how empowering is that? Just incredible. So if someone is just starting on this road, do you have some words of wisdom and some vision for people to follow that might really help them along the path?
As we go about our busy lives, we need to notice what our bodies are contributing in the way of expert insight. The more we do this, the more we see just how much assistance is coming to us for our life's journey, and not just from people, but situations. I recommend pausing frequently as you go about each day and prayerfully asking what any person or situation is showing you about yourself and your voyage. Was he, she, or it offering some practical guidance, encouraging some much-needed abilities, or aiding you in becoming aware of and overcoming some shortcomings? The more we listen deeply to our symptoms and circumstances, the more we realize there is indeed someone out there. And the more we look to him, the more he gives us a vision of what our lives are to be and how to get there. the more we feel his presence, the more we come to understand that he's employing the vehicle of our lives to communicate with every one of us, and he is employing this vehicle to move us to mature, every one of us, and every part of us, until we are all holy, spelled H-O-L-Y, and holy, spelled W-H-O-L-L-Y, like him.
Well, that is so beautiful. So beautiful. You know, I know, Anne, that people will want to connect with you, and I'd love it if you could give your website or someplace where they could do that and tap into some more of your wisdom.
Well, I'm in the process of changing my website, so I'll give my email, which is Anne the Listener, A-N-N-E, the Listener, at yahoo.com.
Perfect. A-N-N-E, the Listener, at yahoo.com, right? And yeah. Anne, did you have anything that you wanted to share with us in parting?
Well, I would love to give everyone a free sample of listening if they'd like to contact me.
Oh,
I would enjoy that.
That is so beautiful. That's such a generous gift. And I want to thank you also for the generosity of your time today and sharing all of this great information. You know, it's so fantastic and so powerful. It could really revolutionize not only medicine, but our empowerment and how we approach illness, you know, completely turn things around.
Well, thank you, Vicki. I so enjoy what you're doing, and I really appreciate your work.
And for anyone who would like to learn more about Expert Insights, our publishing opportunities and our best-selling books, our award-winning magazines, our global broadcast and communities, you can find us at getei.com. That's G-E-T-E-I.com. And everyone, thank you so much for joining us, and have a fabulous week.